from York. This is the From the Attic podcast with your host, Brian Watson. It's a podcast from an attic.
And welcome to the latest From the Attic podcast. I'm joined by friend and all-round good egg, Jim Griffin. Hello, Jim.
Hello, Brian. How are you doing, mate?
I'm very good. How is the vid treating you and yours?
Well, you know, we're staying safe. We're staying inside. It hasn't made its way into our house, so we're happy enough. Can't complain, you know?
Excellent. Are there plus points to lockdown for a recording artist? I guess solitary profession, isn't it?
Well, I mean, we're kind of locked down naturally anyway, you know? So it's not a huge adjustment. Definitely gives you a bit of extra time to finish off those projects. But it kills playing gigs, and that's a real shame for someone like me, you know?
Yeah,
that's the real downer for a musician is the live stuff.
I can imagine. I shall explain to the lovely ladies and gentlemen that I first met you through my love for your noisy band, I guess, your loud band, Zombie Picnic, who I love dearly, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
And after that, I engaged with a couple of your solo albums, but we're going to talk about what for me is probably one of the albums of the year. I don't want to be too fanboyish, but it is. It's an album called The Signal that you've released recently. It's on your Bandcamp page, which is The Ranger and The Cleric, all one word, lowercase, isn't it?
Yep, that's right. You got it.
So, first off, one of the things I was interested in is how, what are the logistics of recording something, not just as good as The Signal, but any album, I guess, when there's only just you?
Yeah, that's a good question, because what I struggle with when I'm making a solo album, Brian, is exactly that feeling that you're going to make something that's a little too homemade or a little too, you know, as you say, a little too lo-fi. Artistically as well, you're always worried that maybe you're disappearing up your own backside just a little bit too much, because there's no one there to stop you, you know? There's no drummer in the corner going, ah, man, that song is too long, which is an essential requirement sometimes if you're a prog musician. So the logistics are really to try and get some perspective, record something, leave it sit a while. That's what I tend to do. So when you come back to it, you're hearing it with new ears, and it's almost as if you're looking at somebody else's track, and you go, well, that bit works, that bit's too long, this needs a break here. So I tend to kind of have an idea, record a rough version of it as quickly as possible, usually on acoustic guitar, but get it into the machine and then let it sit there, and then record something else. So I tend to record quite short bits, maybe a minute or a 2 minute piece, usually from acoustic via a couple of nice condenser mics, so you can keep that acoustic track if you want to. And then I just let it sit there and stew in my hard drive for a while. And sometimes I go back to a piece and I've completely forgotten about it, which is great, because then it's, like I say, it's like listening to somebody else's track. And you can be much more objective. And then you go, God, that would sit really well in the middle of this other piece. And that gives you a bit of objectivity. And then I tend to work, I don't know if you've ever watched or your listeners have ever watched the if you're a Neil Morse fan, he always does these making of DVDs.
Oh, yes.
And I love them because they're all about the process. And look, Neil Morris is a musical genius in my book. And if you watch him, and certainly on the latest one, Sola Scriptura, he has a great one because he's in lockdown making that album. And it's what I try and do, not that I could emulate Neil Morris in a million years, but you just layer it up. And so, and you can even see it on his making of DVDs. You know, they start with some very basic tracks.
Yeah.
A little bit of acoustic, a little bit of piano, and he just, and the magic then is in layering it up and then walking away from it and giving it time and coming back. And then, you know, sometimes you've got to erase parts or you know, add something else in. And it just builds like that. And then by the time you're through and you're finished, hopefully what I've managed to do is an album that's got a little more objectivity and a little kind of more depth in it than if you did it all just in one go.
I mean, it's not a twee little thing, this. I mean, dare I call it a concept album?
Oh yeah, you can dare. It's absolutely a concept album, Brian. I mean, look, you're on the money. But the concept albums I love are the ambiguous concept albums. So the, you know, side one of 2112, where you're not quite sure at the end of it, have the good guys won or have the bad guys won, you know? Or, you know, even some of the really obtuse kind of concept albums, like, I know you're a fan, you know, Imaginos by Blue Oyster Cult.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you know there's a lot going on, but you haven't really any idea what the hell it is. And I love that because you can make your own story with the album. You can connect with it on your own basis. So you kind of give the impression of a story or a concept, but you keep it nice and ambiguous. I hate prog albums that are too, I suppose, you know, didactic, that are telling you, you know, how to think and feel about something. But I just love when they're ambiguous and the music and the story kind of merge into a place where, you know, you can really make your own ideas on it. So I've tried to achieve that. I have my idea of what the album's about, and it's definitely got a kind of a signal from outer space vibe going on. But what that means and who it's from and where, what it means going into the future, that's up to the listener as far as I'm concerned, you know.
I mean, had I not known you, just reading the blurb and you touching on Queen Victoria and the assassination of American presidents and heavier than air flying things, it's sign me up, take my money. Kind of thing.
It fits that kind of prog mentality that I think we share, and hopefully some of your listeners share. It's just, you know, we're suckers for it, Brian. We love it. You know?
There's a few progressive rock fans listen to the show, or the shows, dare I say, and Mr. Morse is a particular favourite of mine, going back over 20 odd years. So I suppose we should really play something from it, shouldn't we?
Oh, definitely. Lead on, please.
I'll tee it up momentarily, but I think there's seven tracks altogether, but the one I've chosen happens to have somebody on it from a band I'm quite fond of. Do you want to tell us about the special guest artiste on Thought Experiment?
On Thought Experiment. So this was a track that, and this was, so there's two albums that I love in my life and I listen to ever since they came out. One is War of the Worlds by Jeff Wayne, and the other is Imaginos, as I mentioned, from Blue Oyster Cult. And something they have in common is they have spoken word parts in them. And I'm a sucker for that. I just love that. And I knew I wanted a spoken word part in this track because when people hear it, you know, you couldn't imagine it without it, because it's stripped back. It's just bass and kind of electronic drums and parts. And I just thought, who's got the coolest voice? Because I hate listening to myself. I hate it, so especially talking. So, and I'm a huge, huge Blue Oyster Cult fan, like yourself, Brian. And I'd had the good fortune to meet in Ireland a founding member of Blue Oyster Cult. He was touring with his band at the time, which was Joe Bouchard. So the man who wrote the music to Astronomy, he wrote Hot Rails to Hell. If you have any BOC fans, Joe Bouchard is the man. And I'd always just kind of kept in touch with him because he releases superb solo albums, you know, and he just has a great workload going on. And I just kept in touch with him ever after over the web. And I just said, man, maybe Joe Bouchard, if I sent him the track, because it's quite, you know, I was happy with the track. It's quite good. And a mate of mine, PJ, did some guitar work that's just superb on it. And I said, I wonder if Joe is locked down in New York, like I'm locked down in Limerick looking for something to do. So yeah. I just messaged him on Facebook and I just said, hey, Joe, got a track. It needs a voiceover. You've got the voice, man. Have a listen. If you're up for it, go for it. If not, you know, no problem. Love your work. All of that.
Marvelous.
But he just came back and he said, I love the track. And he did it. And he just sent me the recording. And I think when people hear it, I think he nailed it. I really do.
I mean, it's hard to pick a favourite. If I did have to pick a favourite, it's a toss-up between that and The Burden of Knowing, I think. But
we shall play
The Burden of Knowing on NTAPs, because I've had a fax from Dead Bob, and it's his record of the week.
Ooh,
So that's for another time, I guess. But but yes, without further ado, let's play Thought Experiment from The Signal by erstwhile Mr. Jim Griffin.
You're listening to the From the Attic podcast, brought to you by Progzilla Radio and Dead Bob Productions.
There at last. is the answer.
The evidence of my recent findings, I keep my counsel, for many questions, remain.
I can only manage this message at the fringes of my intellect. There, the only methods are imaginary instruments.
The sender.
Listening to the From the Attic podcast, brought to you by Progzilla Radio
and Dead Bob Productions.
Welcome back. That was Thought Experiment from The Signal by Jim Griffin, who's been kind enough to talk to me for the last 10 minutes or so on From the Attic. Marvellous stuff. Obviously, as a Blue Oyster Cult fan, you had me at Joe. But it owes a debt of gratitude, I think. The entire album owes a debt of gratitude to Imaginos, with the wide sort of, I won't say steampunk, but with just with the metaphysical concept and otherworldliness. It's just a marvellous, marvellous thing, Jim. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks a million, Brian. And you're spot on the money, as always. Big influence on the album. Yeah.
Yes. And as I say, I think what gets me the most is that it does not sound like an album recorded by one man. I know you said you had a friend helped you out with a bit of guitar work, But it's far removed from the ranger and the cleric and to a far city. Your other two solo albums, I think.
I wanted to do something bigger. I mean, I wanted to, the first two solo albums are very acoustic in nature and almost folk rock in places. And I wanted to do them because, you know, we were touring with Zombie Picnic and they were, you know, taking care of my big heavy rock guitar needs at the time. So it was nice to come home and just record quite plaintive, you know, maybe slightly more stripped back stuff. But with this one, I had some new gear I wanted to play with. I had some new technology. And I just said, you know, I got to up my game here and make a solo album that doesn't exactly, as you say, doesn't sound like a Nick Drake album or something like that. So I just went for it, invested in a bit of technology, kitted out the studio a bit better. And I have to say, I really enjoyed making it. It was lovely.
I know you said you liked War of the Worlds. You need to listen to NTAP's 190, mate, if you haven't heard.
Oh, yeah?
The new Aeron album at Transitus.
Okay, no, I haven't heard it yet.
It's War of the Worlds for the 21st century. Instead of the sort of cast of thousands that Jeff Wayne amassed and Richard Burton, they've got Tom Baker, no less.
Fantastic. I'm sold already. So, yeah, I'll be picking that up. Sure. I'll check it out.
Have a listen to the podcast, but it's got that it's got that Jeff Wayne sort of bass line and Tom Baker talking over it, and I spat my brew dog out when I first heard it. It's very, very good. It transcends homage, and it's kind of like an almost exact replica.
I'm checking that out. That's my kind of thing.
But with all the benefits of modern technology and production, now they've done a tremendous job. Transitus by Aeron.
Okay, well, their stuff obviously sounds amazing. In fairness,
have a listen to that. Now, you mentioned momentarily Zombie Picnic, and we've touched upon them already. But that was your, that is your band project, isn't it?
That's the main kind of a band is Zombie Picnic. We've done two studio albums and then an album of kind of half live and half kind of studio recordings and things. But we've been together since about 2012, I think, maybe 2013. And we were just on the verge of, we had done a lot of work for our third album. A lot of writing. We write live in the studio, in the rehearsal rooms, and it gives us that kind of, we're always aiming for a Mogwai type vibe or something like that. So it's experimental, but it's live and in the room.
But it's melodic. It's melodic as well, I think. And
I mean, we that's something we try and do in Zombie Picnic, because we're all coming from very different places. So I'm kind of 70s rock guy. Our other guitarist Dave is more a kind of jazz new wave head. Our drummer Brendan he's the kind of big Mogwai, Queens of the Stone Age type guy. And then our bass player Brian is our metaller. So he's, you know, everything from Metallica all the way through to Gorija and things like that. So so we always try and merge that into some kind of middle ground where there's riffs and there's melody. But as you know, we're instrumental, so it's all about solos and transitions and soundscapes. So we were really putting the third album together. We had some really interesting pieces that we still hadn't quite finished, and then all the recording studios shut down, and so we weren't at a place where we could finish it, say, in our home studios, unfortunately. And that's kind of where I kind of set that one down and then went back to my solo album and said, well, maybe I can finish this.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to, though, as well. And you add to the sound with like found sounds and sort of archive news footage and things like that.
Well, because we don't do any singing in Zombie Picnic, because it would be frankly exhausting if we tried to sing all those songs. but I do find that if it's fully instrumental, an album, it can sometimes disappear into the background. It can be Muzak sometimes. Yep. So especially for the albums and we do it live as well. And look, I mean, it's a nod to Pink Floyd and such like bands, and we bring in sound clips. Sometimes we bring in voice actors, as we did on the last album, on the track. I think you might play it, "Democracy Cannot Survive."
We'll be playing that momentarily, my friend.
Brilliant! Well, there, that's the perfect lead-in. On that track, we had some found sounds, but we also brought in a voice actor to do certain other voice clips on it, and just we mix them all up together, and it just gives a narrative to what's otherwise a completely instrumental piece. And it works for somehow it works for our stuff, because it's quite it's got that narrative flow to it. So
yeah, well, I mean, with everything that's going on over the Atlantic, I thought there was only one choice to play for the From the Attic version of this interview. Hopefully it can, though. But we're going to play "Democracy Cannot Survive," brackets, "Brian Thinks It Will," close brackets, from "Rise of a New Ideology" by Zombie Picnic. Brace yourselves.
"Democracy Cannot Survive Overpopulation. Human dignity.
We, for example, are now well into the sixth mass extinction. It's wiping out our life supports.
What are we witnessing here? Some kind of intellectual treachery.
Uh-huh. There is no future for us. There's an environmental future for us. There's no social future for us.
As you put more and more people onto the world, the value of life not only declines, but it disappears.
When our scientists are treated like iconoclasts,
that's right.
It's heresy.
Everybody who doesn't have to take off their shoes to count up to 20 knows you can't grow forever on a finite planet.
Thank you. science fiction.
In the future, no one race will be able to control the whole of the world.
The rise of a new ideology.
Standing up like a horse. Brian made some straps for me so I can hang and sleep like Black Beauty.
You are listening to From the Attic Podcast, brought to you by Progzilla Radio and Dead Bob Productions. Presented by Brian Watson. Splendid fellow.
Welcome back. That was Democracy Cannot Survive by Zombie Picnic from Rise of a New Ideology. I'm still talking to Jim Griffin, ostensibly about his marvellous. To 5M scenario, Dead Bob grades albums by the number of M's books in his faxes. The Signal, Jim's solo album, go to the Ranger and the Cleric.bandcamp.com. Get one of a limited run of 100 CDs Mm. I've got one of them already, so there's only 99 left.
Thank you, Brian.
Go me. So we're going to play out with something from your solo catalogue. I know the Signal is getting all the treatment at the moment because it's your most recent piece, but you've released a couple of other solo albums. I know you touched on the folky rock sort of background of them. We're going to play something from To a Far City, which is about, I think, almost 3 years to the day old, isn't it?
Yeah, it's so funny. I was looking at it the other day when I was updating the page, and I went, wow, it's actually it was released on almost the exact same date as I released the Signal there, just at the start of November. Normally, I try and get one out every 2 years, but obviously something must have happened. I lost a year there somewhere. I don't remember, but obviously it disappeared. But it was 3 years ago, Brian, that one came out. That one was released via a small label in the UK called Reverb Worship, which is a lovely label for unusual experimental kind of music.
Yeah, I followed their Facebook page as a result.
Yeah. Oh, great, great. You can discover some weird and very wonderful stuff there. And actually, some of the artists from Reverb Worship are guesting on the current solo album. They do kind of, I asked them to provide various alien signals and what they thought they might sound like. And they sent them to me because they're kind of electronic artists. So that's what I was able to kind of twist and turn throughout the new one. But I met them all through this album on Reverb Worship. And it's in that aesthetic of kind of experimental acoustic kind of music. I enjoyed making that one, but it was a very, very different process, you know?
It's Lovecraftian as well in terms of inspiration, I understand. But what I would point out to my hipster friends is if you go to the rangerandthecleric.bandcamp.com, there are two, count them, cassettes of the album remaining.
I can't believe I sold 24 of them or whatever. But yes,
why anybody would want to buy one of those horrible,
beautiful.
Horrible.
I'll send it to you with a free pencil. You can rewind it back in when it all comes out.
As a young loss adjuster driving around the Southwest in the in 1990 after the storms, all I had in me little Ford XR2. Fiesta XR2.
Yeah.
D666 POP, by the way, was the registration number. I had a cassette player, and the number of cassettes that bastard car chewed up and spat out. Vigil in the Wilderness of Mirrors.
Seasons I'm a sucker for cassettes. I still love them. The sound quality is so...
Horrible is the word you're
groping. Horrible, idiosyncratic.
Horrible is the word you're groping for, Jim. Yes, I know. There's the aesthetic, textual, sensual aspects of it. But of all the ways to listen to music, cassettes are the most horrid. Insofar as how awful you hear the wow and flutter, don't you? Just before.
That's all you do. It starts to slow down. Sometimes that makes me sound better, though, Brian. So that's probably why I brought it out on cassette as well.
Just before it spurts all your hard earned. Because they weren't cheap cassettes either.
No. They were expensive back in the day. They were more expensive than some of the vinyl kind of 12 inches or something you might get, you know.
I do like my vinyl from
me too, yeah.
From an audiophile perspective and the just the tangible quality of holding the record sleeve and the liner notes.
Correct.
And everything. But no, you'll never ever sell me on the benefit of cassettes. But if
I hold on to my two cassettes, Brian, I'll sell them elsewhere.
If you are one of those people who do like the cassettes, you can pick up To a Far City on cassette for €7 plus postage and packing.
A true bargain.
It is. But I was revisiting my Bandcamp collection when I knew we were going to be talking, and I thought that there was a song that just leapt out at me. I think it's a bonus track I got.
Yeah. I know the track.
It's not on the album per se, but if you do buy it from Jim on his Bandcamp page, you get a ton of PDF lyrics and album information and album artwork, and I think you get a vial of Jim's tears as well.
That's a guarantee.
As part of the package in a little solid silver, sterling silver locket.
That's right.
But yeah, we're going to play the bonus track from To a Far City, aren't we, to play out?
Yeah, that's a good one to play out with, because it's very much an ending track for that album. It just kind of fades away into the distance.
And for From the Attic as well. So thank you, Jim, for joining us and gracing us in my attic.
A pleasure, and it's a beautiful attic, Brian, I must say.
With your presence, yes. you can pop into the green room momentarily. As per the rider, I've removed all the blue M&Ms from the bowl, sir.
Yeah, I sincerely hope so, because the last time, Brian, it just wasn't acceptable, you know.
We aim to please at Proxilla York Studios. But yes, joking apart, please do go to Jim's Bandcamp page, therangerandthecleric.bandcamp.com. Why is it not Jim Griffin? For heaven's sake.
Because I was naive, and I must do it. But do you know what, Brian? If it makes it easier for people, it's going to be coming out through Burning Shed in the next week or two. I was just on to Tim Boness, and it's going to go out on there.
Marvellous news. Marvellous news.
They're brilliant. They do such amazing work.
I've spent a lot of money at Burning Shed. Don't tell Mrs. W.
Yeah. Oh, likewise, man. I spend far too much, but they deserve it. So if people watch out if they're on the Burning Shed newsletter, they should see it on there.
So is that the new album that's coming out on Burning Shed?
The signal will be there. If you want the old stuff, if you want the cassette, you're going to have to find me on Bandcamp. Yeah.
That's fantastic news. That's news to me, dear listener. But it couldn't happen to a nicer fella. Thank you once again, Jim, for joining us. We're going to play out with, as I say, the bonus track from Jim's solo album, To a Far City. So this is like goodbye and stuff.
This is Mike from the Progressive Track Show, and you're listening to From the Attic Podcast with Brian on Progzilla Radio. Hey, Vicky, I bet you're not going to like this one either.
You have failed me for the last time.
Please, I can keep failing you.